Welcome to the Monday Minute of the Hunt Backcountry podcast. These are shorter and more informal episodes where we answer listener questions. Today, joined as usual by Steve and also Jacob, Havila Chichech joins us, he's currently sitting in my teenage daughter's bedroom across the house from me. So it's a weird remote recording, even though he's in the house. How's it going, Jake?
I'm great. I'm great. A lot of cow print in this room.
Steve, I know you could care less and wouldn't, necessarily need this said publicly, but it's your birthday week. You're turning 40, so advanced happy birthday, man.
I appreciate it. Yeah. Had a rude awakening to it for basically threw out my back Friday night and spent all day Saturday essentially crippled, which was like, sucks. It was beautiful weather and I had to miss my daughter's soccer game and stuff because I physically could not get off the couch. Yeah, here's the 40.
Here's to 40. You do go do something like the death hike, survive it fairly well, and then just make a wrong move a week later and it sends you out.
Was just such a stark contrast, right? Like literally 10 days prior or whatever it was, doing the death hike and crushing it through the Grand Canyon. And all of a sudden I'm mowing the yard and bam, like takes you out. And yeah.
Well, we do have some listener Q&A, which we will get to, but first we kind of had a couple EXO related announcements, which great timing. Jake is here. He's in town, as I mentioned. We've been hanging out, but he's also heavily involved with both of these. The first one, Jake, to tell folks about is we've just been calling it the garage sale for lack of better terms. But tell us what that is, how it's going to happen, and when it's going to happen.
Yeah, so it's just going to be a little warehouse sale. We've got a few demo packs, old gear items, just kind of hanging around in the warehouse, and we figured let's just sell it all at a discounted rate. So Saturday, May 11th, we were thinking just having everybody come to the warehouse and taking a look. We've got K4 systems, just a limited amount of K4 demo systems. K3 bags, accessories, lots of old K2 bags, accessories, and even going back into the 2015 era with skeleton bags. So we got quite a few things we can sell. And so thinking Saturday around noonish, we'll start it off. It'll be at our location at our office. We'll put a little link in the description too, kind of just letting everybody know about it. But yeah, that's basically it. We also wanted to get an idea of how many people would be coming too. So in that link, we'll leave a little Google Forms description, just so you guys can fill out and let us know. That way we can get an idea. We'll rent out a
Yeah,
food
we'll have
truck.
food and
Oh,
beer and stuff there. Yeah.
Food truck, beer, cornhole. Just make it a fun event. SNS Archery will be there, selling clearance items. Doing demo optics, demo reviews, or sorry, optics reviews. Sorry. I think. Ooh, we even mentioned maybe selling some of our old personal gear too. I know Steve's got a few things. I've got a few things. Just make it a fun event. Come to the EXO warehouse, sell a few things, and make it fun.
Sweet. Spring cleaning with games and beer and optics demos. That'll be really fun. I think, Steve, you were letting some prototype stuff go into the sale too, weren't you?
There's a bunch of prototype stuff that were it was all K4 prototype and some bags that we played with that never made it. Yeah, there's a handful of kind of odds and ends that don't actually exist.
Well, that'll be obviously local, so unfortunately for a good number of people listening to this podcast who are not in the Boise area, we are not going to be able to do sales online for this stuff or like pre-sales or holds. It's going to be you'll have to obviously show up. So as Jake mentioned, we'll have a link in the show description, and that is really just to get in contact with us, let us know you're interested so that we can follow up with you on future details as it gets closer. Make sure you have the official invite and all that stuff. So if you're interested, please fill that out. And that'll be great. Other events, and this one is further out, Steve, you've teased it, but we have final dates and some more info. Steve, I'll let you kick it off because this was your baby, which Jake is also coordinating, so he can add more flavor to it, more details. But the XO Golf Tournament is a go for
Hey,
July.
correction, the Backcountry Invitational is a go.
Oh, we have official, like, fancy names now.
Jake and I were working on that last week. Backcountry Invitational presented by XO Mountain Gear. And we got so basically Friday, July 12th is the date out at Shadow Valley Golf Course. We originally had picked Falcon Crest Golf Course, and then found out during the process of like going through logistics that they're going private, which really sucks because it's like my favorite course in the valley. But Shadow's right there at the top of the list too. So, and yeah, due to my past experience putting on events, I didn't want to have to find a new venue next year because the Falcon Crest went private and you couldn't do it out there anymore. So, went to Shadow Valley and made it work. And it's a great course. It's challenging. It's a lot of kind of hills and trees and stuff like that. So it's gonna be fun. That we also are doing Thursday night. We rented out essentially a floor of the Topgolf, which is out in Boise as well. And we'll have like a pre-party that Thursday night, get everyone together, have a few people drink too many beers. So it's even more comedy on the golf course the next day, which the golf course was not super thrilled about. Like, we don't need a bunch of hungover people here on the course. Like, it was saying every time there's a tournament, like multiple golf carts are crashed and rolled over and stuff
Oh
like
my,
that.
seriously? I would
Yeah,
never even think of that.
I know. He said people just,
Crazy.
they're doing a golf tournament. They're having a little too much fun drinking and make some stupid decisions. So if you come, be smart. But Jake, I pass this off to you to really as one because I'm got way too many irons in the fire right now, and two, that'd be a really cool project for you to take on and successfully tackle. So what else details you got?
Right now, we haven't really made anything public as far as tickets go. So if you do have interest, shoot me an email to jake@exomountaingear.com. I'm hoping to kind of send out a link to those who are interested here in like the next week. So it's Shadow Valley. Biggest thing I've been working on is working out sponsors and donations for it all. It's going to be a really cool event, very exciting. There's going to be a lot of cool prizes. We're really wanting to make it interactive. So like at each hole, come up with something to where you can win prizes at each one. So still working out the details. Still a lot for me to work out and figure things out, because there's a lot to, there's a lot that goes on with planning an event like this. But still happening. Shoot me an email, like I said, and we'll have a lot more information coming in the next week or two.
One thing we decided to do was keep it two foursomes. So basically, you need to get your own, four guys in total. As we started thinking through the logistics, we got a bunch of guys that's just single or doubles, and all of a sudden we've got to go through the hoops of pairing them up with other people and getting things to match. And life got a lot simpler when we just said, all right, everybody pick their own foursomes. Another thing we're doing is really. We're going to lose money putting this event on. I just want to get it off the ground. And we had talked about selecting a charity and raising some funds. But at the end of the day, started running through all the costs of this. We wanted to make it really affordable for people. So it'll be $500, so $125 per person. But that includes Topgolf, food at Topgolf, and playing your entire golf round there at Shadow Valley on that Friday. So we're really the goal's get this thing off the ground, get some experience putting on a golf tournament, and then really kind of reassess once it's done and see how we can scale this up for the future and make it even to a kind of a bigger event.
Yeah, that sounds great. That is, I didn't realize that cost with the Topgolf and food and then the full round of golf. That is, that's cheap. Yeah.
And then we've got, I mean, we've got two. Corwin Ford has been awesome to work with. There, we've got two hole in ones, so two different opportunities to win an F-150, which would be really cool at the par threes. But I said, Jake, we've been kind of going through, and essentially every single hole will have like longest drives going to win a Hoyt bow. Vortex donated a ton of optics, Sig Sauer, Onyx. I don't know, Jake's got the list, but right now we have a sponsor for every single hole, and there's like legit prizes to win. We'll do closest to the pin, longest drive, Garmin. We're gonna have them set up at one hole with their new, essentially it's their golf version of the chronograph that everyone's raving about, right? And we'll do like a fastest ball speed off the tee, wins a prize, just a
Oh,
whole
that's
bunch
neat.
of fun games. And then obviously that we'll have prizes for top three place, top three finishers as teams. But really not making that so much the focus, is just out there having a really good time. And yeah, and like I said, we'll just see what the future holds and what we can do with this and make it into a really cool event, you know, bring in a lot of other companies from the industry and raise some money for something. Maybe that's certainly the 2-3 year vision for it.
Very cool. Well, to get into some Q&A, I'll start with one that we got from the Death Hike content, and then I know that Jake has some others that I mentioned. We did a Q&A from Instagram on Friday, and we'll chat more about some of those. But we had some follow-up Death Hike questions after the podcasts and the article that we put out. Some are more in-depth that we can get into in the future. But this one I thought was an interesting question. The guy wrote in and said, "We have four guys planning to do our own death hike after being inspired by your Exo death hike. We are planning to do about a 30+ mile route, and lots of that is off trail, although there are some on trail miles. My question is about the gear you packed for a full day of quick paced hiking. Obviously, that includes some extra clothing, such as maybe a wind layer, socks, and a puffy. And obviously, you're going to have your food and water. But beyond those basics, what else would you pack for a 30-mile day like that? What about safety stuff?" He said, "I went on to make a list of my own, but that list looked so short, I didn't feel like I had anything with me. I'd love to hear from you guys who have done a bunch of these hikes and maybe the things you used to take that you no longer take, or what we should consider packing." I thought that was an interesting question, Steve, because I think if he made a list, he probably had everything he needed, because you don't really need much.
Yeah, no, that was just pulling up mine, and yeah, it's same exact. That's a benefit of. Sidebar here, like making lists and having there's not that much stuff you need, and as long as if you got your list and you just go through and check, 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 all right, I'm good to go. All right, like there might be some kind of ancillary things that you forget or whatever that aren't on your list, but having that like essentials checklist where you just know you've got all those things in your pack, man, and it makes packing so much easier. When I'm getting flustered by gear decisions, right? I take this or that. You just start at the top of the list. All right, tent, check. All right, sleeping bag, check. Right, and you just go down the list real quick. Bam, you're done. Move on with your life. I'm looking for my death hike list here right now.
Yeah, no, for me, while you're pulling that up, Steve, it was everything he mentioned. It was food, water, and to go with water, I did carry a filter, although we didn't end up needing it. Basics like your headlamp with extra batteries. For clothing, obviously it's very condition dependent, but in general, you will want some sort of jacket for if you're stopping, and to keep warm and or wind, maybe precip layers. So again, that's just going to depend on your conditions. And then for me, that was just thinking through hike specific things. By that I mean making sure I had Leuco tape for my feet. I packed some KT tape, which is pretty similar to Leuco tape, for my knee. Like if I wanted to be able to tape my knee from that more structural perspective. And aside from that, the food, water, clothing, headlamp, and a few basics. I mean, that really was it. So just thinking back through my list, I can't really come up with anything. That's one thing that's neat about a day like this, doing a big 30+ mile day. I'm not saying don't be smart about contingencies and safety gear, some minor first aid, obviously communications like inReach. But really, in terms of gear, there's just, yeah, I don't know. There's much. Can you find anything on your list, Steve, that would maybe
No,
be an
yeah,
addition?
it's let me pack. Got Nalgene on there, water filter, headlamp, battery bank and charging cables, wipes. sunscreen, trekking poles, InReach. You need some type of anti-chafing monkey butt cream powder, right? That'll sneak up on guys that have never experienced that before. This year we had micro spikes on there. That's depending on where we're at. That's on or off the list. And then, yeah, clothing and a little mini first aid kit with KT tape and Leuco tape. This year I had knee braces on there. I bought some braces just in case, never ended up having to use them. Advil, like that's kind of real basic stuff, chapstick. But yeah, it's a very short list. You're not doing anything but hiking, so you just need to think about maintaining your feet, blister prevention, so socks, Leuco tape, and then your hydration and fuel, and it's simple.
When you mentioned Advil, it reminded me, I included this in the article, the Death Hike article, but we never, I don't think, mentioned it in any of the 2+ hours of podcast conversations and recaps, but Voltaren, which is something, Steve, that you turned me on to, which is something that your brother-in-law, who's a doctor, turned you on to, but it's essentially arthritis cream. It's like a topical anti-inflammatory. So instead of taking ibuprofen, you can apply this stuff directly to like the joint that's bothering you, for example. And you had tried it, I think, for the first time on last year's Death Hike, Steve, and then had we I think we were hunting together, and I had tried it when my knee was bothering me, and then subsequently had used it on some of my training, and then definitely on this year's Death Hike. And I will say, I hate medicine and things like that. But this is definitely something I will continue to use as needed. Whether it's placebo or not, it freaking worked for me.
Yeah, I know it for sure. I know it definitely works. It works really, really well. Yeah. Just takes away that little aches and pains, Something I've like pro tip, 1,278 we've talked about in the past, where you just take a Advil, pop a couple of Advil right before you start a pack out, and it just dulls, doesn't two Advil do more than you think, and it just dulls that kind of discomfort that you would experience on a pack out just from aches and pains and stress on your joints, and it really goes a long way.
Cool. I'll leave a link to that stuff if you guys are wondering how to spell it or whatever. It's called Voltaren, but again, I'll leave a link to it if you want to check it out. Jake, what do you have for some of the Q&A that came up Friday, which, we can only answer very shortly and briefly on Instagram, but maybe worth chatting through a little bit today?
Yeah. Sorry. One of them that came up, I kind of answered it a little bit, but I think this would be a question either you two can ask. But somebody asked, when's our next Canada event dates?
Canada, eh? Next would be, I have no idea. It would be cool to
There's
do.
never been one, so there's nothing next.
Yeah, next.
Yeah, it's tough. We're a small company, and we can't be. I'm actually trying to recruit Jake here to do more weekend stuff because it's, we all got kids and lives, and it's tough to do every single show and event. And I was half joking around the other day, like I could have a full-time person that just travels from, every single weekend to a different part of the country. But yeah, it's just tough. We are a company that's very small, that's based off of working very efficiently. And shows, while they are great and they're great to get out and market and network, and we do some of them, we do very well with sales. It's also there's opportunity costs for us not being in the office when we get back from those. We got a lot to catch up on, so we really are very selective on what we do, and to yeah, there's a lot of things about EXO behind the scenes, right, that we operate the ways we do, and yeah, we're not trying to, frankly, sales or Mark and I are in a constant battle of like throttling back marketing because we can't exceed production and our production capability capacity of packs and how many we can build and ship out. And yeah, it's a tricky balance there. So long answer for a relatively easy question, but maybe someday, yeah, we'll get up to Canada. That'd be cool.
Another one. How do you get sponsored in the outdoors?
Ooh, fun topic.
Mark,
Yeah.
you don't, yeah, it's tricky. If you want, if you want to work in the industry, you certainly, I mean, it's kind of some of the stuff how I got started. You just got to put your neck out there, start doing stuff, start meeting people. But you know, getting sponsored is certainly not all it's cracked up to be. It's kind of cool for the first couple of years. You get a bunch of free gear, but man, I really discourage that, right? Frankly, at this point, I would, instead of trying to get sponsored, I would just start reaching out to companies and sending out resumes. And if that's your goal to kind of get a job in the industry, that's where I would start.
Yeah, I don't know what he means by sponsored, right? Like, is he looking for to do his own thing and have the support of companies? And by his own thing, I mean, maybe that's videos or maybe it's content or maybe he just hunts a lot and he wants free gear and wants to show it off or whatever. And all that's totally different than truly, like, if by sponsored he means making income. It's not impossible to do, but it's very difficult to do. And it is generally impossible to try and make content or be financially feasible to support yourself off of industry partnerships and sponsorships and not be compromised in some way, right? Because money's
Yeah.
exchanging hands, and therefore you are making decisions and talking about things that you're incentivized to do and paid to do. And personally, I think for all of us, we don't really like that. And then as a company, we love feedback, and obviously content is amazing and like reviews of our packs, all that's good, but we really want that to be independent and genuine and not something that someone's incentivized to do, period. Because at that
Yeah.
point, there's just a lack of true value to that, to the end customer. So yeah, sponsored. If you're trying to enjoy hunting and hunt more, and you think that like getting quote unquote sponsored is the way to do that, I would just say you're probably wrong. And I say that having kind of gone down this road, like in the past, prior to XO, working with brands, doing things, creating content in the industry, you begin to realize that while it's cool to get new gear for a little bit, as you said, Steve, like for a year or two, it's cool. And then you realize the strings that come attached to that and the work required, and then the tricky situations you find yourself in because you're incentivized to say something or do something. And you come to find out that as you use that gear, it's not actually what you would necessarily want to use, or there may be something better to use, but you have these commitments. It just gets messy and tricky and silly, in my opinion. So,
Yeah, I hated like something new would come out from another company and be like, oh, I really want to check that out and use it. Like, oh, no, I can't. I'm
right.
using X and X product from this company. And yeah, I genuinely disliked the whole process. And then it's very similar to social media, and that so much of it can be just fake, right? People are paid, you know, like you're saying, Mark, people are paid to tell you that they like something when behind the scenes they don't. Or maybe there's something they like better. Just not a good model. Certainly one of the main drivers behind wanting to do this, the experience project this year, is just no BS, honest, real stuff. Like, this works, this doesn't, you know, like just yeah. Anywho, what's
Yeah.
next?
Next, what's a creature comfort that you take on an extended backcountry hunt?
Nothing.
Knew you'd say
Right?
that.
Extra coffee? Let me look at my gear list. All right, see, gear list.
There you go.
Mark, how about you?
The thing I answered this question on Friday when we did the Q&A on Instagram. The thing that I will sometimes take is an ultralight insulated bottle. It's a Hydro Flask, their Trail Series. It's 9 ounces, but on a cold hunt, it's really nice to be able to have like hot coffee and not have to, you know, drink it incredibly fast. Or even hike with it for a while, like have it over a period of hours at times. So it depends on the hunt. So yeah, that's kind of my luxury item that sometimes makes its way onto backpack hunts, but not always. But every time I have it, I certainly do enjoy it for sure. But it's definitely a luxury item for sure.
Yeah. Every time you have it, I'm jealous because it's like you got this hot water packing around all day, but I can't bring myself to pack it myself.
Yeah, those 9 ounces are
I don't.
killing.
I know. Every ounce adds up. I really don't have anything. I mean, I'm looking at the gear list right now. Like, there's, I got Crocs on there. Like, but I don't. I only pack those when I know there's gonna be river crossings. But when we do pack them, even when you're not crossing a river, man, they're nice at camp at night. But I said I would never pack them if it wasn't for if I knew. All right, on this hunt, there's gonna be a lot of water crossings. Jake, how about you?
Probably a hammock. I definitely love hammocks. Getting yourself off
Seriously?
the ground. Oh yeah. I
Oh.
mean, that's super lightweight.
No,
Yeah,
it's
I mean,
not.
a lightweight hammock? Absolutely.
What's that, a pound?
Oh no. Oh man, what, I don't even remember the brand.
When you
Yeah,
say
no,
hammock,
it's
Jake, you're not sleeping in it. It's purely like an
a
extra.
chair.
Chair. I mean, yeah, I'll take a, afternoon siesta in that. That's probably one of my favorites, is just being able to throw that up there, not laying on the ground. And it's definitely a creature comfort. So on an extended trip, it's nice. I mean, it compresses down so small. It's like a little, yeah,
Softball
basically,
size.
yeah,
Interesting.
compressible, like basically compresses down to like a puffy jacket would in its own pocket. I like it. It definitely is nice to just throw that up there and just relax in the afternoon for a little bit. If there's just super hot, nothing's talking.
Need to continue hunting. It's prime time to kill something. It's that mid-afternoon when you think nothing's happening.
Sounds good. Let's go hunting then.
The midday madness.
We'll have to go out.
No, really. I mean, what, Mark, we just did that podcast with Ryan from Backpacking Light, which was really cool
Yeah.
podcast. And part of that was, just the philosophy behind ultralight. And then it kind of reminded me of, like, I've said this multiple times, people are like, how's your pack so light? And you must not be packing this or that. And like, just go through my gear list, man. Tell me what I don't have that I need, right, to stay comfortable, warm, dry out there. Like, I've packed everything that's essential. I just don't pack a hammock, or I don't pack an extra thing to keep my water warm or whatever. I mean, you do certainly have to make sacrifices to have a lightweight pack, but also there's nothing, I'm not skimping on anything. It's just, yeah, I've got everything I need and nothing I don't. So looking at my list and saying there's something in here that's a creature comfort for me is there is nothing, because it's really stripped down to exactly what I need. And I guess a pillow would be, maybe that's one I used to not pack. I'd just take my puffy jacket, but now I've, instead of using my puffy as a pillow, I pack a lighter sleeping bag generally, or quilt, and then sleep in my puffy when it's cold. So the nights that I was doing that, I didn't have a pillow and started packing a pillow. That's about it, man.
Yeah, I used to consider that my creature comfort, or like a luxury item, but now I just think it's so necessary to get good
Yeah.
sleep and perform effectively over multiple days, a pillow.
Wouldn't mind doing a, should add a pillow review to this project. I've
Boom,
bought like
there's another one.
two pillows that I've used and never really spent a lot of time seeing what else is out there on the market.
Yeah.
One more,
All right,
Jakey, what do we got? one more, Jake.
One more. Somebody I asked, this is just paraphrase. He just said, Swaro TA or the NL Pures? I have a Razor HD and a BR4 currently.
So he has Razor HD binos
Razor
and
HD
a
binos, BR4
Revic
rangefinder.
BR4 handheld. So he's either going to upgrade his binos to Pures or go to an all-in-one solution with EL Range TAs.
Correct.
Got it. I know what you're, I think I
That
know what you're going to say, Steve.
answer it for me then.
I think you would say the ELTAs and just have the all-in-one, have the single unit. The glass is good
Yeah.
enough. The ranging in the glass is tough to beat. The convenience factor of not having two devices. I
Yeah.
feel like, but just based on your use case and you hunting and me hunting, because I have separate units, at least recently, you still prefer the all-in-one, I feel.
Yeah. Oh yeah, I've been thinking about that for this year. What am I going to use and hunt with? And there's no question NL Pures are freaking amazing to glass through, but losing the convenience factor of having the built-in rangefinder on a rifle hunt, on a bow hunt, I would go with a handheld pocket, something I could put in a hip belt pouch or in my pocket, and then just have NL Pures. But really, you gotta, I mean, yeah, if you gotta just pick one budget, then I would go EL Range TAs. The glass isn't quite as good as Pure's, but it's still like, very, very high-end glass. It's not like it's subpar by any means. And the convenience is, oh, it's pretty fantastic. And then having, you range, tells you the MOA, you dial, you shoot, man, and it's adjusting for pressure, temperature, all that stuff. It's really a lethal combination. And I think you got to look at the type of hunt that you're doing. And if you really need that slight boost in optical performance of Pure's, I was thinking about like the hunts that we have, particularly this fall, caribou, moose, mountain goat up in Alaska. Like none of those are going to demand the utmost performance in your optics, right? If I was to go back and do Frank Church sheep hunt, I'm looking over massive amounts of country. I'm looking for brown animals and very smoky, terrible environment. Yeah, I think you want every drop of optical performance you can get. But caribou, moose, and mountain goat, they're all going to be pretty easy to spot. They're big animals. And so, yeah, that little boost is not worth the inconvenience of having to run two separate, binos and a rangefinder.
A little nuance factor here I would consider too is if this guy hunts primarily solo or consistently with someone else. If you're solo, the not changing between units can save you some time. I could see how it could allow you to have a better shot opportunity when seconds really count by having the all-in-one and not going back and forth between the two. Again, depending on your hunt context, as you said, Steve, the Pures may also help you find an animal too that you may not otherwise find, but that's picking apart. But to me, if you're solo, I lean more towards the all-in-one unit. And if you do hunt with other people consistently, I do feel like it's easier to hand someone your rangefinder and let them call ranges while you're setting up to shoot versus potentially handing them rangefinding binos. They may need just to change diopter, things like that, which can happen. So I'm not saying it's a huge factor, but I just feel like it's slightly easier an edge to be if I'm solo, I want the all-in-one. And if I hunt with people consistently, maybe the handheld is going to be easier to pass around and let other people quickly use and range, especially if they wouldn't be familiar with like EL range TAs, or again, they're not set up for their eyes as well. So that's a minor factor, but I could see how it could change or influence a decision. So,
Yeah, I certainly don't have a clear winner in my opinion. Both comes with pros and cons currently. Really just waiting for the next version of the EL Range TAs that's like pure glass, whatever company comes out with that. Be fantastic. 'Cause right now I don't there's nothing we're going to do this review this summer. Actually, we're lining out the optics as we speak, but I don't think there's anything with a built-in rangefinder that competes with the Swarovs optically. There's some, the Revix are fantastic from its ranging capabilities, but they're not the Swarov glass. You got to pick which one's your priority. And again, it's, if you're not on a hunt that's like, you're going to be sitting behind tripod mounted binos for 8 hours a day, yeah, you're really splitting hairs. Like, it's not going to be a big deal to have the less quality glass of a something with a rangefinder built in.
Well, thanks as always, guys, for the questions. If you have a question for a future show, send that to us to podcast@xamountgear.com. And then don't forget the links in the show description if you're interested, especially in the upcoming XO Warehouse sale and also the golf tournament. Check out the links for that and let us know that you're interested, and we will give you all those details.
Definitely email Jake on golf tournament. I think this thing's going to sell out like pretty fast because you're only limited to 36 teams. We got 18 holes and two groups per hole starting off. And yeah, if you want to go on that, let Jake know and he'll set aside and get you access to registration as soon as it goes up.
Looking forward to it.